Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Saturday, April 23rd, 2016. This is episode 1281. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/techguy. And by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com right now to take advantage of their Mother's Day limited time sale through May 3rd only. Enter the promo code TECHGUY for a free color upgrade. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones and smart watches, all that jazz. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the number, 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada outside of that area. You can call using Skype out. It won't cost you anything because it's toll-free. You'll be talking to Kim Schaffer, and she's answering the calls, grooming you for your appearance on national radio, getting those cowlicks plastered down. 8888-ASK-LEO. The website is techguylabs.com. Techguylabs.com. You know, we always talk about batteries and how battery technology is lagging behind everything else, right? I mean, the smarter our phones get, the shorter their lifespan is, right? Nowadays, an Android phone, you're lucky if it gets through to dinner. And you got to charge it up before you go out at night. If you went out at night, which I never do. So it's not a big problem. iPhones do it, but iPhones do it by really locking it down and being very strict about what can run in the background and making sure nothing's taking up energy. And that's one way to do it. And even then, the iPhone 6 and 6S don't get great battery life. 6S Plus does, but it's giant, right? How can we make our batteries better? Well, a big breakthrough happened, or at least was published this week, from the researchers at the University of California, Irvine, UCI. A doctoral candidate, Maya Lee Tai, figured out how to make lithium-ion batteries last almost forever. Right now, the lithium-ion battery in your laptop or your smartphone, it's good for about 5 charges, all the way up, all the way down. 500. Did I say 5? 5 would be bad. 500. That's a couple of years, right? A couple of years. And then for a lot of our devices, since the batteries aren't replaceable, that means off to the landfill, and that's not good. Well, pre-doc Lee Tai solved the problem. See, the problem is, I didn't realize this, but there are nanowires, really thin wires, thousands of times thinner than a human hair, that are the conductors in these lithium-ion batteries, but they're fragile and they don't hold up well to charging and discharging. It turns out it's the wires that break after 500 cycles. They grow brittle, they crack, and the battery stops working so well. Well, by accident, Mia was playing around. She coated the whole thing with a very thin gel and started to cycle it. And she discovered, according to the chair of UCI's chemistry department, that just by using this gel, she could cycle the batteries hundreds of thousands of times without losing any capacity. Seems apparently that what happens is that gel gets plasticized over the nanowires and making them pretty much invulnerable. The result, commercial batteries, lithium-ion batteries, that could last forever. Forever in your cars, in your cell phones, in your computers. That is very exciting. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take to commercialize this. It won't happen probably anytime soon. But it's not like they have to go through FDA testing to do this. I think that's really exciting. It's interesting how often this kind of stuff happens just by accident. you know, she didn't know what would happen. She says, "Well, let me spray some gel on this thing and see what happens." Awesome. Well done. We needed that desperately because these batteries just don't last. So that's really good news. We've been waiting for a breakthrough like this for some time. It doesn't improve capacity, but at least it eliminates one of the negatives of lithium-ion batteries. They just stop working after a while. Now you can charge them up and down forever. Did you know, this surprised me, I didn't know this, that the Uber driver, when you drive on Uber, doesn't get a tip. I thought that was built in. In fact, Uber really kind of wanted you to think that was built in. That they say, oh, no need to tip and all that. And I always just, I don't know why, it was dumb of me. Did you assume that? I did. No, they aren't getting tipped. And Uber, which could do what Lyft has done, Lyft has a little button that says tip the driver. What do you want to give him? 10, 15, 20%? What do you want to give him? Most of the taxi cab apps I've used do that. Uber doesn't. And Uber says, that's too bad. We pay them $15 to $20 an hour, and then they have to pay for their own gas and rent the car. And it's not a really good. And oh, by the way, Uber takes a 20% cut. That's not... That's not a great living. Tip your Uber driver. Tip your Uber driver. And Uber, for crying out loud. That's terrible. Add that feature. Add it. Big stock tumble for Google. I don't really pay much attention to the stock market because what we're talking about on this show is how technology changes our lives, how you can use it, what technologies you should, learn about and use and buy, what you shouldn't. What technologies are hype? Stock market doesn't care about that. Alphabet is Google, of course. Alphabet had revenue in the last quarter of $20 billion, 20.26 to be exact. And the stock market expected 20.38. So Alphabet's down like 5%, maybe even more. Billions and billions of dollars in paper losses, basically, in the stock market. don't you think Google has a future? I don't know. I wouldn't be betting against Google right about now. Just because they missed by a few hundred million. $20 billion in revenue sounds okay. I guess the other fear is that the cost per click continues to drop, down 9%. Year over year. Cost per click is what what Google gets paid when you click on an ad in a website. And that declining means that Google makes less money and the advertiser makes less money. And I would bet we're also clicking less, right? Paid clicks are up. But I don't understand the difference. Paid clicks, I guess, I don't know. You pay by click. Instead of, I don't know, what's the difference between pay by click and cost by click? I don't know. See, this is why I don't buy tech stocks. Don't do it. It'd also be a little conflict of interest. That would be a bad thing for me to do. And if you've ever wondered why your Congress critter doesn't really seem to understand technology too well, well, now we know. In 1999, they fired the Office of Technology, OTA, assessment, I guess the A was. Budget cuts. They cut the budget cuts. This was a group that was put together by Congress. In fact, it was the model for many other countries. They said, this is great. This is great. When they have questions about cryptography or, how email works, what is the internet, they can go to the OTA, and the OTA has all these smart people who will say, oh, well, I'll explain. Well, turns out they fired them all 10 years ago. And boop, that's it. Now they know nothing. Only about 4% of federal lawmakers have technical backgrounds, are scientists or computer scientists. The rest just don't get it. And no wonder they try to pass bills like the Burr-Feinstein bill, which says no matter what, an American company is required by law, actually any company doing business in America is required by law to hand over the data. No such thing as encryption. Just hand it over. This law is, by all experts, viewed as cuckoo. But there was no OTA to tell them. Sorry. 8888 Ask Leo. Let's go to... and by the way, the FBI, they cracked that phone in New Jersey. So never mind again, Apple. Another false alarm. Let's go to the phones. Let's take your calls. Let's talk high tech. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Call me. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. And there she is, ladies and gentlemen, the lovely and talented Kim Schaffer answering the phone calls. You're not at the parade today.
I keep missing the parade.
You know
every
what?
Year I miss
you know
the
what?
Parade.
I'm gonna okay, the parade starts in 40 minutes. People are saying, what parade? Parade starts in 40 minutes. You can run out and watch the parade for an hour, and I'll take whatever calls we have.
Just cold call like last week.
Yeah. No, seriously, go on out, enjoy the parade. It's just one block over.
I know.
It is here we are. We're in beautiful Northern California, a little tiny, teeny weeny town called Petaluma. And Petaluma 100 years ago was the chicken and egg capital of the world. This is where all the eggs came from. And then more recently, it's a big dairy town because there's a lot of fields around us, so there's a lot of cows. So every year we have a parade. We call it the Butter and Eggs Day Parade. And today's Butter and Eggs Day.
It is.
And they do all sorts of fun things, make giant omelets in the town square. There's the cutest little chicken town contest where parents humiliate their small children by dressing them up
as
chickens.
There's like 87 contestants
yeah.
this year.
Yeah, well, you know, there's nothing like a child dressed as a chicken.
They're cute.
They're really cute. Put a smile on one's face. The kids are pretty little. I don't think they know something's going on, but I don't think they know really why they have feathers on.
There was one out there about 2 months old.
Yeah, so yeah. Some of them are quite small.
Yeah.
And then the parade begins in about 40 minutes, and it's a small town, so everybody's in the parade, like literally. And the deal is you make a deal that if you're going to be in the parade, then when you get to the end of the parade, you go back to the beginning and you sit down and you watch the other people go. And vice versa, if you're at the end of the parade, you sit down, watch the first people come through,
so
and then you go
get in the
parade.
So there's always spectators.
Yeah, because otherwise everybody is in the parade and there's no one to watch. It's fun though. I thought it was going to rain. It was raining
no,
like crazy yesterday.
It's
a perfect day.
Yeah.
So enough of that. I am, by the way, somebody in the chat room says the irony is Leo's diet won't allow him to eat butter or eggs. That's true.
I think Petaluma is kind of becoming a brewery town.
Yeah, there's a new brewery going in down the road, and apparently this studio will be a brewery in a year or two. Although. Now that I see they're also building one across the street, I'm wondering, do we need yet another?
Are they going to change their plans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I'm sitting right now will be a giant vat of hops.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm happy about that or sad. It's bittersweet.
It is bittersweet.
So you've been taking calls. I should take a call, too. Who should I...
How about Darlene in Seattle? She's got a problem that I have being a fanatical picture taker on iPhone. So she's got 6,000 photos.
Whoa!
She needs to put them somewhere.
Darlene, that's a lot of photos. You're filling your phone
up.
Yeah. Are you running out of room? You're welcome, Darlene. Are you running out of room?
No. The problem is I have an iPhone 6 Plus with 128 gigs.
Oh,
and I've been
good.
Importing my photos to my desktop, but then I signed up for Google, the photo service, and Amazon to back my photos up.
Smart,
to.
Yeah.
Then I also signed up for the iCloud storage, which I pay for, and that put all 6,000 photos back on my phone. So my question is, should I be using all three services? And the second part is, how do I get rid of all these duplicate photos now?
Thank you, Apple. Wow, Apple, you really, really nailed that one. See, Apple doesn't think you really will ever use anybody but Apple services. So what Apple did, you could turn off the iCloud the photo drive, and that will erase those 6,000. What Apple does, just by if there were nothing else out there, is everything that's on your computer is in photos, Apple's photos, right? And so that means it's put up on the cloud if you pay for it, and you turn on photo drive, which you did obviously. And then what Apple says is, these are not full quality images. The full quality images are stored on your computer and in the cloud. It downloads kind of effectively thumbnails, lower quality, lower size versions onto your phone and leaves them there as room is available. It will manage your storage, so you don't have to kind of worry about it. But maybe you don't want that. You do, in a way, have the same thing, though, with Google and Amazon, because, of course, if you open the Google Photos app, there are all your photos. You can see them. But they're not on your phone. They're streaming in over the internet. So it's really up to you. If you turn off the iCloud photo drive or photo storage, it can still back up. It just won't store it on your phone. So that might be really what you want. And I think it will delete all that stuff.
Oh, good. Okay.
And the nice thing about, if you're an Amazon Prime member, Amazon offers unlimited free storage for Prime members. Google offers unlimited free storage, but it's not the originals. It's a somewhat reduced quality, although I find it fine. So it's really up to you about, you know, what you want to do. You got belt and suspenders right now, right?
Right. It doesn't sound like I need all three of them.
Yeah, just go into iCloud on your iPhone and then go into the photos section of mm-hmm. iCloud and turn off the iCloud photo library. Well, now, wait a minute now. Let's see here. Automatically upload and store your entire library to iCloud to access photos and videos from all your devices. Well, you do want that. Boy, it looks like you don't have... Well, wait a minute. If I turn that off... Yeah, then you could say remove from iPad. Okay. Yeah, and then I'm removing it. I'm using an iPad. And then, yes, you still can turn on My Photo Stream, which automatically uploads new photos and sends them all to your iCloud devices. So that's what I would do, is turn off iCloud Photo Library, but leave what they call My Photo Stream turned on.
Okay.
So then iCloud will continue to back up photos from your phone. It'll delete those 6,000 photos if you say. It'll, it gives you two choices. It says you want to download the originals. I don't think you do. So you say, no, delete them from my phone. And now you won't. They're still there. They're in the cloud. They're on your desktop. They're just not on your phone.
Okay. That sounds what I needed.
Yeah. And the truth is, with 128 gigs, you probably aren't running out of room.
No.
Yeah, and they manage it. The idea is they'll keep an eye on it and make sure you don't. They just basically use what's free to store as many of them as it can. That's very confusing. And Apple really, I really feel like Apple doesn't. This is kind of in their DNA. They don't ever think, oh, you know, you're going to use Google or. But the irony is, we know this. In fact, just look at your phone. Almost everybody who uses an iPhone has Google Apps on there. Well, I tell everybody get Google's Photos app. That's awesome. And you probably have Google Maps in addition to Apple Maps, Google Search. You might have Play Music on there. Some of the best apps for iOS are written by Google. And why wouldn't you use them? They're free. But Apple likes purity. That's why I use Android, because I don't like purity. I like impurity. I want a variety of stuff. But I think you're doing the right thing. You know, Microsoft's OneDrive, Flickr is another one, gives you a free terabyte of storage. Might as well have backups. I mean, as long as you know, you're not going crazy. And you shouldn't get duplicates. I don't think you'll have duplicates. I think not. 8888 Ask Leo. Back to the phones in a bit, but first, Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guru.
When doves cry.
Here he is, our visionary home theater guru, Mr. Scott Wilkinson, joins us every week. We missed you last week, but you were at the NAB show, the National Association of Broadcasters annual event in Las Vegas. I was told 100,000 people were there, 1,700 exhibitors. And did you see and learn anything there?
Oh, tons. It was a great show, I thought. I was most impressed. Actually, I went early. You know, the show started on Monday. But they had, in the weekend before, Saturday and Sunday, they had an event called the Future of Cinema Conference with a bunch of, you know, panel discussions about this and that. But the most important thing I saw there and the most amazing thing was about an 11-minute clip from Ang Lee's upcoming movie, which is called Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk.
Mm.
Long name. It's actually derived from a novel of the same name, which has been called the Catch-22 of the Iraq War.
Wow.
Yeah, it's I think the story is quite amazing, and the way Ang Lee filmed it is also equally amazing. What we saw, what he did was he is shot the thing in native 3D. So he put two Sony F65, their top-of-the-line cinema cameras, next to each other on a 3D rig and shot everything in 3D, as he did with Life of Pi. But he also shot it at 120 frames per second, which is five times more frames per second than what all of us are very used to seeing for the last 100 years of 24 frames per second. Now, we've only seen one other example of this in the commercial market, and that's the second and third Hobbit movies. Peter Jackson shot them at 48 frames per second and displayed it that way in certain theaters. But this is another thing altogether. This is 120 frames per second. 3D, super bright. Even through the 3D glasses, we were getting eight times the brightness of what you normally see in a 3D cinema.
Thank goodness, because that's one of the negatives, one of many negatives. Yeah,
it is. It is. This was really astonishing. It's the story is of an Iraq war army unit that saw lots of hard action in Iraq, and they suffered all sorts of traumas. They come back to the U.S. to a hero's welcome, and they're featured at a halftime show of a Dallas Cowboys football game. And that's where the name comes from. Billy Lynn is one of the members of the unit, and they're featured at this football game, and he's suffering flashbacks from the trauma that they had in Iraq. And the 3D is really great. There's no cardboard effect. You know, sometimes you look at a 3D movie and it looks like cardboard sets at certain distances. I mean, that's sometimes what happens. None of that here. 120 frames a second means that everything in motion, both things that are moving in the frame and the camera pans themselves, perfectly crisp, tack sharp. Really amazing. It's literally like you're looking out a window at reality. In fact, I heard more than one person, when somebody close to the camera walked past the camera, more than one person in the audience thought it was somebody in the audience walking in front of them.
Wow.
It is astonishing. And
this going to, when this movie comes out, will you be able to see this movie way?
This is the question I asked during the panel. And actually, the best they're going to be able to do, they're going to be able to show it at 120 frames a second in the commercial cinema, but only at 2K. And so they're going to have to reduce the resolution, the spatial resolution.
Which I'm
fine with.
Okay.
So I don't have a problem with that.
You'd rather have the high frame rate than the high resolution.
I would. Okay. I would. I think it makes a much bigger impact on the picture. Now, there are those who disagree, who have seen The Hobbit, who saw this demo, in fact, who said, it doesn't look like a movie. It looks like video.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, it doesn't look like movies that we've seen for the last 100 years. But because it's been done that way for the last 100 years, because of limitations in the technology 100 years ago, doesn't mean that we shouldn't push forward now that we have better technology. So I'm all for it, and I think it looks fantastic. And if you don't like it, then go see it in a movie theater that's going to show it at 24. That's the beauty of shooting at 120. You can downshift to 60. You can downshift to 24. No problem. And in fact, instead of just dropping frames, which is what you would think, you'd go, well, if you go from 120 frames per second to 60 frames per second, just drop every other frame. No, that's going to look weird. So what they're doing instead is they're blending adjacent frames that are going to get condensed down into one frame. They're sort of blending them together using digital algorithms. And so I think the effect is going to be wonderful. But man, oh man, it was so impressive. Even those who thought it looked like video came out of there saying, yeah, it looked like video, but wow.
But what great video.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't see that. I would have loved to have seen that.
I think I would have loved for you to have seen it too. Yeah. People waited like half an hour to an hour in line to go see that thing because where they were showing it was only in like about 70 seats in a conference room. And they had set up these two Christie projectors, which can do exactly that, 4K, 3D, 120 frames a second. the super bright. The data for that 11-minute clip occupied 10 terabytes.
Wow.
Now, that's uncompressed. And there were two servers, one for each projector, because the two projectors, one was the left eye, one was the right eye. And they were sending that data over four DisplayPort links to each projector. And each DisplayPort link was sending a 2K segment, and then that was tiled together. So it was a very sophisticated situation. And those two projectors are meant for theme parks and simulators and visualization. They don't have the digital cinema protections or security that are required, that the studios require in commercial cinemas. So that's why we won't see it in movie theaters. Now, what I'm hoping is that they make some special arrangement in certain markets like L.A., New York, places like that, where they might put those projectors into a special venue. Like Quentin Tarantino did for Hateful Eight with the 70mm Roadshow. You remember that?
Yeah. I was talking to somebody at NAB who worked on that film. He's actually a sound editor, Matthew Wood from Skywalker Ranch.
Oh, yeah. It was a great interview.
They had to shoot that. Those are all vintage cameras, those 70mm cameras. Nobody's making new ones. So it's like shooting it with antiques.
Yes, yes.
There are a few J.J. Abrams shot on 70mm, the new Star Wars. Quentin Tarantino continues to shoot on film. There are a few people who really prefer film, but
that's
nobody's
right.
making the cameras anymore.
Nor the projectors. They had to bring a bunch of projectors out of mothballs to do that 70mm Roadshow.
That's hysterical. Yeah, yeah.
So this is at the other end of the spectrum. This is pushing the technology to its current limits. This Ang Lee film, but yeah. I can't wait to see it, man. I think it's just going to be awesome.
Well, you'll be able to see it, but you won't be able to see it as it was shot,
not
alas.
Exactly as it was shot. Yeah. No, because he's actually pushing the boundaries beyond
Did they ask him why? Is it maybe for release on, you know, UHD Blu-ray? Will we be able to see it there?
Oh, probably. I would imagine so. Sure.
Someday, anyway.
Sure.
Yeah.
He was inspired by Douglas Trumbull,
yeah.
who was actually a guest on my podcast, I'm proud to say.
Nice.
Who has championed high frame rate, and he showed it to Ang Lee, and Ang Lee said, wow, I got to do my next movie this way.
Scott Wilkinson, Home Theater Geeks, twit.tv/HTG. Okay. Yeah, one of the things Matthew said was that those cameras are so noisy that they have to loop most of the dialogue because you can hear the chattering of the film over the sprockets.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but sure.
Yeah, he said that that's the only negative on that.
That's hilarious. And he's a sound editor, so he would know.
Yes, he knows. He says, I really like doing looping, so he's the one who gets to bring the actors in against their will and make them re-record all their dialogue.
Friendly Manitoba in the chat room. That's what people said about films added sound than color. It's too different. You know, any major shift in technology and so on is going to cause a lot of people to pause and say, wait, it's different. It's not what I'm used to. And that's true. But technology marches on. And I, for one, am all for seeing what the boundaries can be, where we can actually go with it. And I think what I saw from this 11-minute clip was really something. And I really hope that they can. I asked, it also wasn't in high dynamic range. We didn't talk about that. And I asked him about that too. I said, what are you doing with high dynamic range? He said, well, we shot it in high dynamic range. We protected the footage for that. But these projectors aren't capable of doing it. However, at the Christie booth, which, Leo, you didn't get to see either, I think, right? He may have gone to take a break, and I don't blame him. But in the Christie booth, we did see high dynamic range that was stunning, beautiful. And so if he puts out a version in high dynamic range for Dolby Cinema, presumably, because that's the only way you can see it in a commercial cinema, then we're going to see something really special. Oh, man. On the other hand, you know, it might in fact look too real. And there are quite a few war scenes, right? Battle scenes in Iraq. I mean, that's partly where the movie takes place. And one reason I left, I walked out of The Revenant was because the Dolby Vision high dynamic range made it look too real. And all that blood, I just couldn't tolerate it. And so I had to leave. I hope that's not the case here. I really do, because I want to see the movie. The shots in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium were just wow. One thing I didn't mention in the segment is that 120 frames per second is so clear that he decided that the actors can't wear makeup. They did not wear makeup. They had to go through a weeks-long diet regimen to make sure their skin was clear, because you can see that they're wearing makeup. It's amazing. Really, really amazing. Friendly Manitoba, when they shoot in 3D, do they have three cameras, two on the outside for the 3D and one inside for 2D? No, they don't. They use two cameras, and if they're going to do 2D, they'll take, I think, the left image, but it could be the left or the right. They just take one of them, and that's the 2D version. Yeah, Twisted Mister. Problem I have with this is that most people are just fine with highly compressed streaming video, and Blu-ray is dying. Well, you know, I think certainly streaming is on the ascendancy, and Blu-ray physical media is not. But we have this new format now, Ultra HD Blu-ray, and, you know, hopefully that will inject some life into the physical media market, because it is better than Blu-ray. And it will give you Ultra HD. It'll give you high dynamic range, and most of the titles out there are. At the moment, it isn't high frame rate, but that's just because the content is.
You're going to stick around, right?
Yeah, you bet.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. Terry on the line from Apple Valley, California. You're our next caller. Hi, Terry.
October of 2014, I got my very first smartphone. You recommended the Note 4. I love it.
Yay.
And now I need to get a tablet. I'm in public relations. I go to a lot of meetings. I'm going to an animal care expo next month, and I don't want to haul my laptop. I want something, though, with the keyboard.
Yeah.
But I don't want to pay the price of like the, what is that?
Of the Apple. You know, the iPad Pro is such a nice combination, but it is expensive. In fact, by the time you put it together, which is, it starts at $600, not $500, and then you add the $100, $150 keyboard, and, you know, and that put a decent amount of memory in it, you're up to $1,000. You could get a very nice laptop for half that.
Right.
So, on the other hand, this is definitely the champagne of tablets. It's priced like Veuve Clicquot, too. I mean, it is very, it works really nicely. So what could we replace it with? Well, I guess a Samsung. They make very good Android-based tablets, and they're less expensive. The Samsung Galaxy Tab, what is it, S2, I think it starts at $400, $300 or $400.
Okay.
And now keyboard, I don't know if they have dedicated keyboards like Apple does. I think you just use, but you could use any Bluetooth keyboard, so you can get a small portable keyboard. So you want to bring it kind of as a laptop?
Yeah, I go to a lot of meetings, even in just my normal activity, and trying to take notes on my Note 4 is a little difficult at times. I mean, it's good for small things, but if I'm taking a lot of notes, plus the other thing is I don't always want to have to fire up my laptop and bring it in to another room
right. Just
to look at my email, just if I need to do something on the internet. So I want that flexibility of something small that I can carry with me.
That makes a lot of sense. In fact, this I'm not pushing you towards the iPad. I'm just talking about my use case. The small 9.7-inch iPad Pro with its dedicated keyboard that Apple makes fits in my my backpack. I carry it with me at all times. It's kind of become my, like, I'm just going to keep this around all the time computer.
Okay.
So I agree with your use case. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
I think if you want to save money, though, you're going to go with Samsung.
Okay. But I want something that's going to be good quality. If you think the iPad Pro is the best. I made.
Oh yeah, there's no question. There in variety of software integration of the keyboard, the screen. We're starting to see people like DisplayMate look at the and this is the little iPad Pro, the iPad Pro Junior. DisplayMate said this is an exceptional screen. The best they've ever made. And one of the things it does that the big iPad doesn't even do, no iPad does, and no tablet to my knowledge does, is it adjusts the color of the screen to match the color of the room. So, yeah, it does some really smart things. I have to say, as expensive as this is, and it's you know, Apple, so it's way expensive. Yes. I almost said way overpriced. Is it overpriced? I don't know. But it is awfully expensive. On the other hand, the good news is, this will last you. This is actually the problem Apple faces, is nobody's buying a new iPad because their old ones work just fine.
And this is called the iPad Pro Junior?
No, they don't have a name for it. There's just two models of the iPad Pro. There's the big 12-inch and then the 10-inch, which is the standard, the old iPad Air size. And this
and
just came out.
And the 10-inch is the one you're talking about?
Yeah, I think the big one. Well, you could go to an Apple store and play, look. I feel like the big one is too big. It's really kind of looks like a tray, a serving tray. It's very large. Okay. Whereas this is the size we're used to with iPads. I find it's big enough. The keyboard is quite good. And frankly, I use it for email. I use it for a lot of stuff. It's got, by the way, they put the camera in here. It's the same camera on the iPhone 6S. So it's a good, finally they put a decent camera on an iPad. So I feel like this is a really interesting tool. It's not, Apple sells it as a laptop replacement. It isn't. It is exactly as you described it, in my opinion, which is for those times you don't want to bring an iPad with you. Right.
Right.
And then the other one to look at is the S2, the Galaxy Tab S2.
Okay.
It's less expensive. I think that they start at $360, which is considerably less. They don't go as high in storage, but, you know, 64 gigs, which is the kind of the next tier up, is pretty good. It's the right size. They make an 8-inch and a 9.7, so you have your choice there. I just don't know if they have a keyboard. And the camera's not as good. So one of the things, I'm not a fan of people holding up their iPads at concerts and shows. Don't start doing that. Take pictures.
No, I won't.
On the other hand, having this here as a camera means you're at a conference. You take a picture. You can quickly upload it to Instagram or Twitter. You can do all the things you do with a phone.
Right.
And so do you have an iPhone? What kind of phone do you carry?
No, you recommended the
Note that's
4.
Right. You told me the Note 4. What am I saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to stay with Samsung, then the S2 is a good choice. So those are the two.
I don't really even care. I just want one that's going to be useful for what I'm doing and will be the best for that. So
I carry. I'll be honest. I carry the iPad Pro.
Okay. And can I, if I do like, if I'm doing, can I do documents on there? Like if I'm taking notes, am I doing it on a Word or what am I doing it on?
So they have a variety of noting apps. I like Notability, which allows you to use the pen if you pay another $100, the Apple tax. You can handwrite notes, which is actually kind of cool for quick and dirty, but you can also type notes. That's a good one. Notability is one. I also use Editorial. You Hollywood types might like Editorial because it supports screenplay notation as well as to-do list and markup. So you could write posts on for your blog or write your next $1 million screenplay on this thing. So that's pretty cool. That's another good one. Editorial. That's for text, typing only. Notability supports pen and audio, which is kind of neat. So those are a couple of good ones. There's lots of good note-taking apps.
And can those sync up with my Dell computer? I mean, because it's not an Apple. By chance.
Well, yes. Let's think about it.
Can I transfer them over or something?
You can transfer them over, and you can also sync to iCloud, and you can get the iCloud stuff onto your Dell by logging into an iCloud account.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, you can do it.
Okay. It's workable.
It is workable. Absolutely. It is workable. And that's because nowadays we live in the cloud.
Okay.
The other thing you might want to look at, if money were an issue, and it may not be for you, but I'll say this for other people, is a Chromebook. Now, they're still pretty light and compact. It's not a tablet, but Acer just released some beautiful new, they call them Chromebooks for work. They're still $350. That's a full laptop. Those are awesome, too, but those are no good without an internet connection. So the nice thing about the iPad is add another $129 for this, is you can get it with AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile. You can get cellular coverage. So you're sitting at a conference and you can use your cellular internet if you can't get on the Wi-Fi.
Oh,
I use that a lot. I'm sitting in a cafe. I don't want to use the cafe Wi-Fi. If I'm in an airport, a lot of places I use it all the time, and that's really handy too, because now this thing is fully connected. And
I wonder because I have 8 gigs. Is it called eight gigs on my phone, which I don't ever even get close to?
No, if you start using it for pictures and more stuff, you have more than 8 gigs on your phone. I don't even think they made it.
Is it 8 gigs? Well, what is it?
Minimum is 32 for the Note 4. And then you could put an SD card. You're talking maybe about RAM or storage?
My data.
Oh, yeah. 8 gigs is a lot.
Yes, I share it with my daughter. We barely do one.
Yeah, you'll never use that up. No, 8 gigs is tons.
So I wonder if I did it with Verizon, if I did this on top of that,
You could add it. I think Verizon would charge you a surcharge, but you could add it.
Oh, then that works.
Yeah. You might even go to Verizon, see if they'll give you a deal.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're awesome, Leo. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Terry. It's always a pleasure. You have such great energy. It's always great to talk to you. You're just full of energy. I love that.
Okay, you remember me then?
Oh, yeah, of course. 2 years ago, and I still remember you.
Sure you do.
I do!
Okay.
Very few people call in such happy moods. Most of the time people call me, they're kind of glum. My computer's broken. I lost my hard drive. I can't find my pictures. Why is the internet so messed up? Stuff like that. You're happy, you're just happy-go-lucky. I like that.
Thank you.
All right, Terry.
Well, you're awesome.
Oh, you too. We must stop meeting like this. Thanks, Terry.
Yes, sir.
Take care.
Okay, next year we'll meet at the
In a couple of years, yeah. Okay. I'm glad to help spend your money, Terry. I did, too. This, with what I just described, the pen, the keyboard, the iPad, and then the 4G or LTE service. This is a $1,000 device. And that's, Apple, that's way too much. You want to know why you're not selling more iPads? That really, even if people want it, it's just too high. They're going to turn their back and say, I can't justify it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
So we've been talking in the chat room about the Vizio P series, M, E, and D. M series was just announced with high dynamic range, so that's pretty good. But it has, and like all Vizio TVs, it's full array local dimming rather than edge lit, which is much better. But the M series has up to 64 zones of local dimming, whereas the P series has twice that much, 126 in the two smaller sizes, but still roughly twice as much. So the question about whether to get the P or the M, I'd get the P. The M series 70 inch is $2,000. The P series 65 inch is $2,000. I think it's absolutely worth losing 5 inches, spending the same amount of money to get twice the number of local dimming zones. It will improve the quality of the picture greatly. So that's what I had to say about that. Also, the E and D series, I haven't done a lot of research on those yet. I do know the E series, or the new E series was just announced, and some of those, they don't have high dynamic range, neither the E nor the D. Both model lines have some UHD or 4K versions and some HD versions. I think the E series might have this new SmartCast system that was first introduced on the P. The M has it as well. But I'm fairly sure the D won't have it. At least that's not what I've found so far. I haven't done a lot of research on this yet, so this is just very much preliminary information. But that's what I've been able to check so far. Oh, Marshy says the 60-inch E has 12 zones. Well, that may be the 2015 model. I think the 2016 model has more. But I'm not 100% sure. I need to do some more research on this. So that is what I want to say about that. We've also been talking about not being able to wear makeup at 120 frames per second. Now, that leaves out a lot of Hollywood actors. Somebody mentioned Tammy Faye Baker, who's not an actor, but she is famous for wearing a lot of makeup. I will say that Ang Lee did say that one actress on the movie that he did have makeup. It was one of the cheerleaders at the Dallas Cowboys football game, and he wanted it to look like she was wearing makeup. So he put makeup on her. But everybody else, no makeup. He also said that at that frame rate, you can see more of what the actor is doing. And so even the actors have to relearn their craft, because if they're acting in the way they've known, it becomes more evident that they're acting. So they have to make it more like real life than they ever had to before. So I thought that was very interesting. Compter is asking, but the 2016 LG OLEDs are way better than the Vizio. Yes, they are. I would agree with that 100%. But they're also three times as much. Maybe not the B series, the G series, the high-end one, the 65, maybe more than three times, four times as much, maybe like $8,000. But the B series, I haven't seen the pricing on that yet. I'm most interested in the entry-level 2016 LG OLED, because it'll be a lot less expensive. It'll have essentially the same picture quality as the high end. The only difference between them are design elements. You know, does it have this fancy glass backing? Does it have a fold back sound bar on it? I don't care about any of that. I'll take the B series OLED. Thank you very much. No problemo. Echo, when is the best time to buy a TV? Black Friday.
Thank you, Scotty. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and, you know, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo drones. Apparently there was an incident in the UK of the drone running into an airplane, or was it a paper bag? A plastic bag. Now there's some question. So, you know, it's, and I listened to an interview on the BBC with a drone expert, and the interviewer said, well, how are drones different from remote control planes? We've had those for years, you know. And the guy said, well, there is no difference, by the way. Well, the difference is the people flying drones are uncouth heathens. That's basically what he said. Well, remote control aircraft users are in clubs and they have rules. And why, these drone users are anarchists. I think it's a little overblown, isn't it? New technology always seems to do that. It scares people. We don't understand it. I don't think drone users are any less or more prone to misbehavior than remote aircraft folks. Drones are cooler. Police are investigating a pilot's claim his plane was struck by a drone as it approached Heathrow Airport. The plane landed safely. No one has been arrested. And now maybe it might have been a plastic bag. Oh, dear. It is easier to fly a drone, because the drones nowadays, these drones, they do a lot, you know, themselves. They auto-level. They'll hover, even if you don't do anything. Although, they're not that easy. I got the Parrot AR Bebop drone, $500, praised, highly praised for the ease of with which you can fly it. It is cool. You fly it from your iPhone or your iPad. You press a button, it goes up. That's it, and it hovers. I could do that. The minute I did anything else, boom, I crashed it and damaged it, and I haven't been able to fly it since. One flight. Had a drone before that. I was told, oh, Leo, don't start with the expensive drones. Start with the cheap drones. So I got one of those quadcopters from SYMA, S-Y-M-A. You find them on Amazon, $40. And you get what you pay for, I'll be honest with you. These don't, you know, they're not as easy to fly. Got it all set up, trimmed everything so it balanced. Pressed a button. It went up. Tried to get it to go down. It wouldn't go down. Kept going up. Disappeared into the clouds like a helium balloon. I never saw it again. First flight. So my experience with drones is, despite the promise that these are easy to fly, they aren't that easy. You got to practice. You got to learn. They're perhaps easier than a remote control aircraft, perhaps. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just a doofus. I don't know. Tony in Oklahoma, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Okay, here's my situation. I'm an over-the-road truck driver. I have the Note 5, which, you know, I took the Note on your advice.
Beautiful obviously. Phone, isn't it? Gorgeous phone.
It's great. But I want to watch TV on my – I have a 19-inch TV for the truck, and all it has is an HDMI port. How can I connect the Note 5 to the TV?
I believe Samsung sells an HDMI connector for that. It's a special cable because the only thing out of the Note 5 is a micro USB port. Another way to do it would be to get a Chromecast.
We don't have, there's no Wi-Fi in the truck, so I've looked into that.
So you want to use the 3G or 4G on the phone.
I'd use that for, you know, we have Sprint unlimited data.
Yeah,
truck driver is phenomenal. Nice. Yeah. 50 gig a month, easy.
Nice, really use that much. Wow.
Yeah, that much. That's our whole entertainment. We watch TV on it all the time. But you know, we want to watch as we're laying in the bunk on a TV. How do I get from one to the other?
You know what? I'm going to correct myself because I think they dropped this on the Note 5. We were able to do it on earlier versions of the Note. You would get a special MHL adapter. And now I'm looking, and it looks like that's something they stopped. Oh, thank you. They stopped doing on the Note 5. Wow, that's disappointing.
So drop down to maybe a Note 4. And that might do it.
So what you're looking for is MHL, okay? And that is a on one end it's a micro USB,
right?
And on the other end it's HDMI that would plug into your TV.
Okay.
And it worked on the Galaxy Note 2, but what I'm seeing here is that it seems like it no longer works. They dropped that capability on the Note, which is weird. I guess they figured, it's such a big screen. I don't know what they figured.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've been looking into tablets that I could get 30, 40 gig a month, but you're just astronomically expensive, so that's not really a good.
Let me ask the chair. Does anybody have any, can they confirm that there is no MHL on the Note 5? I'm gathering that from people complaining, but that's just from internet. No, apparently it does not have MHL. Why, Samsung? Why? What's wrong with you? And the MHL adapter that Samsung sells does not work with the Note 5. I think I'm just looking on the Amazon to see. I mean, the nice thing is the adapter's not that expensive, but if it doesn't work, that's... Okay, well, mirror screen device works great for the Note 5, huh? So maybe it does. Maybe it does. So that's what you need to research is... I'll keep asking the chat room. The Galaxy S7, the newest one, does apparently have MHL, so it would be a weird thing to have left out of the Note 5.
Right.
But Samsung sells for $50 and their third-party connectors as well that are less. An MHL 3 HDTV adapter that comes out of the micro USB port goes and then has HDMI. You can plug an HDMI cable into it, and it should drive your TV. Does your TV have HDMI?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So this is. I'll keep listening. I will keep looking and see if we can find it, because that would be the best way to do it. Why would they drop it? And then if they put it in the S7, why wouldn't you put it in the Note 5? The Note 6 will be coming out in the fall, we believe. Twisted Mister in our chat room says, there are posts that confirm the Note 5 does not support MHL. I've seen that as well. On the other hand, I'm looking here. Yeah, the Note 5 is not designed for any HDTV cable outsource. It seems odd that they would drop that. So I don't know. I don't know. It has to support it, in other words. If it doesn't support it in the hardware of the phone, you won't be able to do it. Mobile MHL is mobile high definition link. It's designed exactly for that, to get the output of your smartphone and a big screen TV. I mean, I guess you could. Well, this is an interesting question. You need Wi-Fi to use DLNA or Chromecast. You can get a cheap Wi-Fi hotspot, somebody's saying, but you got that. You're already paying for that Sprint on the phone. Chat room, this is your task. And if you have an idea, go into the chat room, irc.twit.tv, or go to the website, techguylabs.com, and put a comment there, hour two, question one. That's how we divide the page up. By the way, it's free to go to the website, no sign up, no charge. Just march on in there and get your answers. TechGuyLabs.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So apparently the new Chromecasts will mirror. So you don't need Wi-Fi. This is an update. Let's see here. As of a year ago, more than a year ago, to almost 2 years ago, I'll have to try this. You can apparently connect directly to the Chromecast. Google wrote an opt-in feature that will let nearby devices cast to a Google Cast device, even if they're not on Wi-Fi. I have done that, actually, come to think of it. So it would use your internet. I think that will work. It does mention the Note 3. So mirroring. And then somebody in the Amazon comments said you can use mirroring. So you know what? I'm going to go home and try that with my Note 5. I have a Note 5 at home. I will try that with my Note 5 tonight, and I will report back tomorrow. So there you go. The answer may be that you just need a Chromecast, $35. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888-ASK. Leo, the chat room to the rescue. Lots of solutions. We'll put them all on our website, techguylabs.com, to our truck driver who had a Galaxy Note, or Samsung Note 5, and wanted to get the beautiful movies out of his Note 5 into his little 19-inch HDTV in his truck. And there seem to be many ways to do this. Including, it turns out, you can do it with a Chromecast, even if you don't have Wi-Fi. There's something called mirroring now in Chromecast. I will try that tonight. I have my Note 5. Not with me, but I have it at home. I'll try it at home and see if we can do that. But go to the website if you have a, you know, want to know more. Questions and answers. Tony's solution, techguylabs.com. And we'll put all the... We have James DeRuvo. I saw you at NAB, James, but I could only wave. I was on the air. I waved at James. He writes down everything and puts it in the website. That way we have a very good resource after the show for everything I talk about. Jeff, Atlanta, Georgia. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I am. I'm wearing my red shoes and dancing away the blues.
Hey, I want to just kind of piggyback on what the earlier caller was asking about. What do you think about something called Sony Digital Paper? It hasn't caught on yet here in America, I don't think, but attorneys use it to take notes, and it's...
Is it a tablet?
It's very, very, very low power. They say it'll last, I think, 2 weeks. So if I can even get 3 days out of it without charging.
So it looks like it's using e-ink. This is really interesting. The problem with e-ink is its latency. I have never used this. In fact, you're the first person I've seen, I've heard about it from. So this is new to me. It does look like in the video that Sony has on their website, it does look like it can keep up with your handwriting. That would be question number one. Very interesting. Let's just see how much. You can buy it in the U.S. at B&H for $800 for a 13-inch tablet. They're pitching it to lawyers, and I guess lawyers do a lot of writing. You also have to have a special stylus. 1600 by 1200, 4 gigs storage. It's a electronic paper display. Interesting. You know, I'm not familiar. I've never seen this. I never even heard of it.
You think, I mean, I love my Note 5. I love the stylus on it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I have to charge it. So I'm hoping that this one, you don't have to charge the stylus. But the Note 5, I mean, I'm a salesman. And, you know, people call and I call them. And I just don't want to juggle back and forth between, you know, to be able to do that. But the Note 5, I'm sorry, the battery just will not last on it.
No, it won't. It really won't. And that's kind of why I abandoned it. I was very disappointed. Samsung seems to have licked that with the Galaxy S7. It has much better battery life than its younger, its older sibling, the S6. And I'm hoping that they'll do the same with the Note 6, which should be out this fall. Because you got to get through the day for me. I need 16 hours of battery life. I'm not even going to consider a phone.
And maybe somebody, you know, that you work with there, I don't know, maybe can review this thing.
I might have to buy myself one. It looks like it's really made for business. It supports Citrix ShareFile, so you can, you know, it's got a cloud connection. You can put your notes up on a screen by sharing it to a PC. Really interesting.
Always have it on, you know.
Yeah.
What I hate about the Note is, you know, you got to log on. You got to, you know, enter your password, and by that time, you know, your train of thought's lost.
Right. I wonder if anybody listening has used it and can give us a review. It's a lot of money for me to spend just to review it, but I'm tempted. Boy, it's thin too. It is.
Yeah.
It is 6.8 millimeters. It is thinner than almost anything I've seen. So
I kind of call it a Kindle in reverse.
Yeah, yeah.
You can put books on it.
You can. Okay. I mean, it's kind of big for a Kindle because 13 inches, but it's perfect for, it's like a yellow pad, basically.
Yes,
wow,
yes.
I'm very intrigued by all this.
Maybe somebody in the chat room or maybe somebody on Tech Eye Labs can kind of.
We got to get somebody reviewing this thing. Maybe I'll just have to get one and give you a review.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for the call. Anybody know? Has anybody used it? It's the Sony Digital Paper. I had never heard of this. And I don't know why Sony doesn't talk about it. Just looking at the video, it seems to be fast enough to keep up with your handwriting. That would be my one concern. E-ink is not notoriously fast, but if they put a pretty good processor in here, it looks like it does, you know, highlighting. It does a lot of the things that you would want it to do. Why don't we know? Why isn't this, why aren't people screaming to the hills about this? This is Sony in a nutshell. You know, they make a great phone, too, the Xperia phone. And they just don't get much coverage in the U.S. I don't think they're very good at selling in the U.S. This is an interesting product. All right, I'm going to order it. $800. Oh, man. This is an expensive business. Torino, Highland, California. Hi, Torino.
Yes, hello. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm in the process of buying a new computer, and I wanted your feedback on the new HP Envy 34-inch. It's like a curved screen.
Oh, it's so gorgeous, isn't it?
It's a gorgeous machine. Oh, my God. I've never seen anything like it, but I was calling to see if you got any negative feedback on it or as far as any issues with it as far as the price goes. Is it really worth it with the 2 terabytes or the optional 4 terabytes?
So now I'm familiar with the monitor. They're selling it as a computer, like an all-in-one desktop too. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's totally wireless. And wow. When I saw it, I was sold. And
yeah, no kidding, because the monitor by itself is $800. So that $1,500, that seems like a good deal. I've not tried it. Another one I got to buy, but I'd say yes. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It's gorgeous. Look at that. Now, the truth is, at this point, you could buy, there are many companies making these displays, so you don't have to go with the HP. But, wow. Johnny Jett's been everywhere. He's our traveling man. He's back home. Brought his wife back from Canada. you got her home.
Got her home.
That's nice.
Very nice to be back.
Congratulations. Johnny's wife is a Canadian citizen. They went to the U.S. consulate in Montreal, as you may, just to catch you up on the stories, you may remember. Got her green card. And the question was, would they get through the airport? Because apparently they could still turn you back at LAX. They did not.
It was actually in Toronto. In Canada, what's nice is that, you know, the customs, U.S. Customs and Border Control has all their
people
on the Canadian side.
Yeah, that's so,
right. But we showed up to the airport extra early. It took 5 minutes. They said this is an easy case. So
yahoo!
Yes. Anyway, thank goodness.
So love to you both. Congratulations. So does that mean she doesn't have to go back, or what does that mean?
She doesn't have to, I mean, for a while. But, I mean, obviously she's going to keep going back, and we're traveling again this week. So
does she get
next week
American,
I'll be coming to you from a faraway destination.
Oh, nice. You were in San Francisco briefly, I saw.
I was, just for 2 nights for a conference.
Yeah, good.
So
good. And you're about to take the road again, huh?
We're about to hit the road again. Nice. And I got a good website for people who have mobility difficulties.
Which your wife is about to have, so that's good.
This one's called, it's spelled A-C-C.
She's pregnant. I want to explain that she's expecting. That's why. Okay.
Yes. We don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah, I know, really.
I don't know how to pronounce it correctly because it's not a word, but it's A-C-C-O-M-A-B-L-E.
Yeah, accomplable. A-C-C-O-M-A-B, accommable. Accommable. Accessible accommodations. They made it up, the word, but...
They made it up. But it's a great website for anyone who has mobility difficulties all around the world. So it was these two guys who are English, and they love to travel, but they are in wheelchairs. And so they found places that are not only hotels, but Airbnb.
Nice. That's great.
So anyone who has any kind of mobility difficulties, I mean, you can find anything from even yurts to canal boats in London that are
nice.
Love
that.
Yes. So I'm a big supporter of these guys.
A-C-C-O-M-A-B-L-E. Find out where accessible hotel lodging is. I love the idea of going on a river boat. You just roll right on. Look at this. Oh, man. Self-drive seven-berth holiday canal boat. The Madam Butterfly. And it's accessible. Isn't that awesome?
Well, and I love their slogan is to enable anyone to go anywhere.
Yeah. Right on.
Which is awesome. One of my buddies, was in a car accident. He's paralyzed. And he's driven across country 8 times. I've never driven across country once.
Good for him. Wow.
And he goes all over. So, I mean, it's amazing. And I just think this is great for everybody.
Very good. And now your app of the week.
So this one's called Flyover Country. Have you heard of this one?
No. That's what people mockingly call everything that's not the big cities in the middle.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's free. It's for iOS and Android. And
it's
so
from the University of Minnesota.
Exactly.
Oh, that's neat.
You're going to love this one. So, and actually, you don't need to be connected.
Oh,
you just need
to
get out first, and you download the 2 points. You tap the two locations you want to go, or from point A to point B. You download the map to your phone, and then you turn on the GPS. So while you're flying or driving, even if you don't have a connection, it will tell you what's going on.
I'm getting this right now because you can leave your GPS on while you're in the plane. You could go in airplane mode, but the GPS can stay on. The problem is the maps. And I always want to know, well, where are we? This is kind of neat because it has geoscience built in. So you can see geologic features as well as geographic features. I got to tell my dad about this. He's a geologist.
Awesome. You would like this one.
Oh, neat. It's a National Science Foundation funded mobile app for geoscience outreach and data discovery. Know what you're flying over.
Yeah, you know, I was reading this snarky column by a flight attendant the other day saying 10 questions not to ask us. And one of them was, where are we flying over?
They have no idea. Hey. How would they know?
Yeah, but still, before the maps came out, I used to always ask the flight attendant to ask the captain. You just say, hey, by the way, can you ask the captain where we are?
She knows. The captain would know.
For sure. I mean,
I hope.
These days, planes should all have
if the captain says, I have no idea where we are, then worry. Well, looks like we're over a mountain.
Not sure.
Yes.
No, I always want to do this. In fact, I've tried, you know, like pre-downloading the maps with the Hear maps, the Nokia Hear maps, which, by the way, are being discontinued. The app is being discontinued. It had all the map built in if you download it ahead of time. And then you leave the GPS on and you could see where you were. I did that on our river cruise, too. It was really awesome. But this is even better. Is it only the U.S.?
North America,
but soon to be worldwide.
No, because it was working in Canada.
Yeah, North America.
So just North America.
Soon to be worldwide.
Right.
Oh! I just downloaded it. It's on my phone now already.
You're the man.
So I got
a couple tips for you if we got time.
We do?
So one, last week, Alaska Airlines, you know, they bought Virgin America. And they were all over the news or all over Facebook because someone created this really good-looking scam saying that Alaska Airlines was giving away free tickets.
Oh.
You had to forward it. So listen, I got so many of these forwards. Do not fall for these scams.
You look like
a fool to all your friends.
Yeah.
The airlines are not going to give you free tickets. So don't ever participate in this. And they're just putting spyware on your computer when you click the link.
Yeah, terrible. Don't fall for it.
You'd be surprised how many people do. So,
well, it seems reasonable. And who doesn't want free tickets? But like most con games almost always play on your greed. So if it seems like you're getting something for nothing, maybe what you're getting is malware. Think about it.
Yeah, you're giving them something.
I've been following that Instagram that you recommended that for bad travel. What is it? Bad travelers?
Oh,
annoying.
It's called passenger.
Passenger fails. I can't remember what it is, but it's so funny.
I have, right?
People are bad.
Passenger shaming.
Passenger shaming on Instagram. People are bad.
Oh, they're real bad. And so the handle is passenger shaming is their
and it's a flight attendant that does it, right?
Yeah, they have 378,000 followers.
Yes, because people, it's unbelievable.
The stuff you see on here. Yeah, it's really bad. That's
right.
My other tip. Look at that, and don't follow any of this stuff that people are doing in there.
Wear a shirt when you get on a plane, please, folks, and shoes.
Don't put your bare, stinky toes on the seat in front of you.
No, there's other people on the boat.
There.
It's these millennials, you know. It's the kids today. Actually,
it's not just the millennials. You'd be surprised. Actually, I would say it's not the millennials. Most of them are my generation.
Yeah. Really?
So,
well, from my point of view, you're a millennial.
I once saw a woman sitting next to me flossing her teeth.
Oh, no.
with her hair.
Oh, that's doubly bad. That's evil. You know what? You're being punked. Look around.
I was like, are we joking? My wife was next to me.
Hey, that's why I have long hair, right? It's right
you're
there.
Dodging the food. You're like,
oh, yeah. JohnnyJet.com, everybody, at JohnnyJet on the Twitter, and he's on Instagram, too, and never pictures like that. Only good pictures, beautiful places that he and his wife, Natalie, go. And Natalie, the Scala Jet, is, what's her handle?
Her handle's Natalie DiScala, DiScala. And
follow her beautiful images. Yeah. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. See you later. Get on that plane. Fly on out of here. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. Moving on to Stephen in San Diego, California. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Leo.
What's up?
I thought it was a Motorola, but I have an older Nokia phone. It's 2G, and they're telling me it's not going to be supported as of December.
Oh, dear. What kind of Nokia is it?
One of the old candy bars.
Wow. So you've been hanging on to the past.
Well, I couldn't complain. It was a prepaid phone, and I got the service for $1 a day and 10 cents a minute.
Yeah, good deal. And the thing is, you were using it as a phone, I guess. These things now that we carry around are not phones. Phones are very secondary. These things are computers in our pockets.
Yes, which is where my question came in.
Okay.
And I do materials testing and construction.
Interesting.
And I move around a bunch. They're pushing me for a smartphone, and I was looking primary considerations, kind of, sort of, you know, battery life. I would like to be able to have an SD card in it, you know, but I'm wondering if perhaps an alternative would be able to connect to a USB drive that's external. I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah, well, they don't usually do that. The internal storage is what you want. And there are a lot of phones now that you could put up to 200 gigabytes of internal storage into. And that would do as well, right?
Yeah, I was looking at...
I don't know if you're at all interested...
32 to 64 gig.
Yeah, DeWalt just announced their first smartphone. You know the power drill guys?
Oh, yeah.
It looks just like a DeWalt. It's mil-spec. It could stay under water for 30 minutes. It can drop 2 feet on a concrete. It can work at temperatures from 20 below to 60 above. 60 degrees centigrade.
No. I'm older. And
it works with
gloves. I don't do that kind of extreme.
You don't want that, but I just think it's funny that there's a market for that. It makes sense if you're in construction, right? You know.
If I was going up to Alaska.
Are you thinking that you'll use the phone now for work more? Like they'll be like what kind of?
No, this is going to be almost exclusively a work phone, and I don't want the company's.
You don't want the company's phone. This is for you.
Yep.
And what do you imagine yourself doing with it?
Well, to give you an example, right at the moment I'm working out in the desert up above Lancaster, service is kind of sort of spotty.
Right.
So you're installing solar panels
you're probably getting better results on your old Nokia phone, although that doesn't have an antenna. The old phones that had antennas were much better, by the way, at getting a signal. But they decided they broke off. People decided they didn't want them, so they started building the antennas into the phone, even though there's a sacrifice in signal quality as a result.
Yeah.
So, let me think. And you don't know yet what kind of smart features you're going to use because you don't have one of them. Do you bring a laptop with you?
I have a laptop, and I have a Galaxy Tab S10.5.
Oh, well, then you do know a little bit, because think of the Galaxy Tab as just a giant smartphone.
Right.
So a lot of the things, do you take pictures with it?
Yes.
So you'd want good camera?
Yes.
Because that you could use for work, you know. You could take pictures of issues and so forth. Yes. Cracks in the concrete. You'd probably want to be able to take notes on the thing?
Definitely. Part of the reason why I was thinking about the external USB connection or internal storage is that I have to reference specifications and such. Double check what I'm thinking, verify.
So you want to download all those documents. Are they PDFs?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. But you want to be able to read them. I'm thinking the Samsung Note 5, which has a stylus. You can actually do handwritten notes. You can draw pictures as a very, very good camera. It's a big screen. It's 5.5 inches, so there's actually 5.7. So there's a lot of space on there.
Good, but what about the battery life?
Yeah, not great. We were just talking about that. There will be a new one in the fall that I suspect Samsung's going to do better. Maybe, you know what? The Note 4, here's why. It's a little older, still has a stylus, still has the big screen, has a removable SD card and a removable battery. And so you could buy, this is what I would do with all the old Galaxy phones, I'd buy two or three batteries. And there's slim little things. You can carry them in your breast pocket. But that'll give you a whole another day's worth of charge. So you don't even ever have to worry. You just keep batteries with you. You never have to worry about running out of battery.
Can I ask you how that might compare to, I heard one called the LG V10?
That's also an excellent phone. Very good phone. That's more modern. Doesn't have a stylus.
Well, I'm mostly keyboard anyway. My handwriting is atrocious.
What you're going to find, though, is that the keyboarding on these phones, because the screens are so small, even the biggest of these phones, and the V10 is huge, is tough. Because I bet you have man hands.
Kind of.
I do. I have sausage fingers, and it's very hard to do accurate keyboarding on a little phone like that. That's all right. I mean, it's good enough for note-taking.
Well, it wouldn't be primary, because I have the tablet. So, if I needed it would be a case if I needed to.
The new HTC, which is just coming out now, the HTC, was it 10? Really looks like a nice phone. Excellent camera. I think it's going to have very good battery life. I haven't gotten mine yet. I'll get it in a couple of weeks, but I'm guessing good battery life. Let's see. What's the best battery life? You know, actually, it's fragile. You'll have to get a good case for it. But the Galaxy S7, the latest Samsung phone, is superb. The camera is as good as any camera I've ever used on a smartphone. Beautiful display. It's big enough, 5.5 inches, but it doesn't feel that big. The problem is it's got a very fragile glass case, so you're going to absolutely want to get, but you can get good, robust, rugged cases to put it in.
Hopefully an OtterBox.
Yeah, OtterBox, absolutely. And so get the S7. This currently is my absolute favorite phone on the market today. It's a remarkably good phone.
Yeah, but $700-$800.
Oh, it's expensive. Yeah, you didn't say that. Oh, you don't want to spend a lot of money, eh?
If I have to.
I should have known. You've had this Nokia phone for years.
Yeah.
Think of all the money you've saved.
True.
Who's your carrier?
AT&T.
Yeah, they pretty much have every phone you can get out there. What's the best battery life out there? Sony Xperias have very good battery life. You want less expensive.
Well, I kind of choke at the price.
I don't blame you. But now, if you look at the Note 4, it'll be cheap because it's a year old. It's 2 years old almost. It's out of date. So see if AT&T will sell you a Note 4 for cheap. They might.
Yeah, I'll have to look at the specifications. I might just go with the 7 or the Edge.
Don't get the Edge because that's more vulnerable. Get the square one. It's not as pretty.
That's fine.
$100 less, which is nice. And it's going to be a little more robust. Look at the Note 5. Prices are dropping on those. I think they've updated those to Marshmallow. I'm on AT&T on my Note 5, and I haven't yet got Marshmallow, but I'm hoping to. Once you get Marshmallow, it should have decent battery life. But that's not a removable battery like the Note 4. What else? I'm asking the chat room. Maybe they're looking. What else would be good? I think a removable battery would be nice. I would not get a Nexus 5X or a 6P. They're good phones, but they are not the best phones out there, and battery life's not great. Oh, you know what? If you could get a Xiaomi Redmi, these new, but they don't sell them in the U.S. They're very good battery life on those.
Mm.
Samsung Active, somebody's suggesting that's good for a little more robust. I'll tell you what. I think you kind of know what all the candidates are. You're just going to have to go to an AT&T store. Yeah, and look and see. I think you're going to bite the bullet because these are computers now. I mean, these are supercomputers, and they're going to cost computer prices. Even the least expensive are $400 or $500 for.
I do not want a contract.
They don't do that anymore. That's the good news. You know, you don't have to do that anymore. I mean, you might have to have a contract, but they don't tie it to the purchase of the phone. You pay, which is why we're now saying, wow, these are expensive. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our show today brought to you by Audible.com. I walked in today, and even though I wasn't in a car, I listened to my Audible books right off my phone. Little one headphone. Want to hear those cars coming at me, but I love my audiobooks. In fact, I'm always looking for another reason to listen to audiobooks from Audible.com, the world's largest audiobook store. By the way, more than 180,000 now, 180,000 books, performances, radio shows. Pick from them, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to get you one free so you can try it out. Because this is, I have to say, you know, I know some people say, well, I don't know if I want to listen to a book. Oh, you do. Did you like it when your mama read to you when you were a little baby? Of course you do. And when you're in the car, you can't read a book. Maybe you're tired of listening to podcasts or radio shows. Having a great book brings that drive alive. I used to drive, look at this. Here's a book all about earthworms. Wow. the earth moved on the remarkable achievements of earthworms. And since it's Butter and Eggs Day, let's say everybody should go out and read Why Did the Chicken Cross the World? The epic saga of the bird that powers civilization, the chicken, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, right now I'm listening to science fiction, this wonderful science fiction. What I try to do is alternate fiction and nonfiction. So I learn a little, I enjoy a little, and Audible gives me so many great choices. I'm listening to Peter F. Hamilton's latest. He's one of my favorite science fiction authors. But there's so much here. If you're interested in technology, there's great things you can learn. Soft Skills, a Software Developer's Life Manual, the guide to a well-rounded, satisfying life as a technology professional. How about that? Smarter, better, faster, the secrets of being productive in life and business. You can get so much out of Audible, and I want you to go right now to audible.com and pick a book. What you're going to do after you find that book is go to audiblepodcast.com/techguy and sign up for the gold account. Your first month is free. That means your first book is free. Oh, how about this? Let's Go Crazy, Prince and the Making of Purple Rain. I just watched the movie. Now, this, see, now I'm going to add that to my cart. Definitely. Definitely. Audiblepodcast.com/techguy. Your first one is free. I do listen to a lot of rock and roll biographies and histories and autobiographies. I just find that stuff fascinating. A lot of history, too. I love the history. I love the science fiction. I love the mysteries. Frankly, I would just listen to Audible all the time. And I can in my car, in the gym, while I'm walking the dog on my phone. I even can listen to it on my Amazon Echo, which is very nice. Audiblepodcast.com/thetechguy. Sign up for the gold account. Your first month's free. Your first book is free. You also get the Daily Digest of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. And if you cancel any time in the first 30 days, you'll pay nothing, but you will be able to keep that book forever. I love this because they're redoing a lot of classics with modern-day actors, which is a lot of fun. Did you enjoy The Jungle Book? You could listen to the original. Great listens await. Audiblepodcast.com/techguy. Oh, and I can see I have two credits. I love it. My credits renew on the 22nd. I can't wait. I always look forward to that day. Now I have to pick two more books. I usually keep my wish list here, so I keep track of what I want to get. Well, hey, hey, hey. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. We are talking tech. We are talking computers and the internet. We're talking home theater, digital photography, smartphones. We haven't yet talked smart watches, but we can do that as well. Tablets, virtual reality, anything with a chip in it, I will talk to you about it. I'm into it all. The website is techguylabs.com. You'll find everything you need there, including our phone number, which is 8888-ASK-LEO, a link to our chat room, irc.twit.tv, if you want to join the wiseacres in the back of the class there. 8888-ASK-LEO, techguylabs.com. I should be clear, let me be clear, as long as we're talking about phones, that to date, the best phone, in my opinion, the best phone on the market is without question the Galaxy S7 Edge from Samsung. It's not perfect. There is no such thing as perfect technology, and there are a few issues, including its fragility. Everyone I know has cracked it or smacked it or dropped it. So get a good case when you buy it. But boy, great camera, snappy phone. Just incredible. And the nice thing is Samsung has finally listened to its customers and stopped messing around with Android. It's not perfectly pure, but it's pretty close. And it's great battery life, great screen. Samsung easily has the best screens out there. They make the Super AMOLED screens that they use in their phones and tablets. And so they really kind of have cornered the market. There is a rumor that Apple's made a deal with them, not for this year, but for next year, to start putting OLED screens on their iPhones. It's about time, really. Some people don't like OLED because it's kind of dynamically bright and sharp, and maybe the colors are a little exaggerated. I don't think they're too badly exaggerated, and certainly there's settings on Samsung phones to make them a little more muted. But the blacks are deep and rich. The whites are very bright and crisp, and the colors in between look good. Your pictures look great on it. It's got a great camera. It's fast. Nothing not to love. Good battery life. Really, really great phone. So, you know, but the leader changes all the time. I order the HTC 10, the new phone from HTC. Some people have said this is finally putting HTC back where they were with the original HTC 1. That I would hope so. They've been struggling a little bit. There are new phones coming all the time. And, of course, a phone is about as personal a computer as you can get. So everybody has different needs and wants. And I often recommend the iPhone, especially for people who are in an iPhone environment. You know, I asked my son who's in college, does anybody not have an iPhone that you know? Now, I have to admit, he's in a school where the kids are fairly middle class, fairly affluent. They all have iPhones. They all have iPhones. Breaks my heart. I sent him an Android phone. He lost his iPhone. I sent him an Android phone. He was in Spain. And he didn't want it. He said, no, don't you have an iPhone? He said, my old iPhone 4 is in my closet. Could you send me that? He would rather use a 4-year-old iPhone than a brand new Android phone. But, you know, all his friends use it. And one of the reasons he wants an iPhone is because when they group message with Apple's messages, that only works with iPhones. If you're an Android user, that's why I think one of the reasons all the kids are using it. If you're an Android user, you're left out. you're a little green bubble, and they're all blue bubbles. Dennis, Valencia, California, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm excellent, and thank you for taking my call. So 15 years ago, I was really big into computer flight simulator games. And now, with the virtual reality glasses that are supposed to come on the market here shortly, I'm wondering if it's really going to be an exciting thing to get back into, or do you think it's overrated?
Flight simulators or VR flight simulators?
VR flight
simulators. Yeah. I don't think it's overrated, but don't over-hype it either. I mean, it's not... So... When you played with your flight simulator, did you have multiple screens?
I did. I had three screens.
Yep.
And, you know, but it only went so far about the immersion into the cockpit.
Well, so the reason you had three screens, and a lot of people are very serious about it, flight sims do, is so you could look to the left and you'd look out the left window. You'd look to the right, you look out the right window. You look ahead, you look out the front. You'd press a key and look out the back. Well, imagine now you put on the VR helmet and you look to the left, you're looking out the left window, the right window. You turn around, you're looking out the back window. It's much more realistic. Now the screen resolution, this is the negative. The screen resolution is lower because first of all, it's 1080p. Second, you're closer to it, right? So it's not going to be a super high res screen. That's how they keep the frame refresh up. And frankly, because you're closer to it, if you look, you can see the pixels. You'll see what they call the screen door effect, you know, where you can see the dots and the lines in between them. But it's so immersive. It's so real. You quickly forget that.
Okay, so you've actually...
I have the Oculus Rift.
Oh.
And I'm looking to get I ordered the HTC Vive. It should be coming in any day now. And, of course, I'll... by the way, this is my job. I'm not I have a budget for this kind of stuff. If it were just me, I might be waiting for the PlayStation 4. That they're going to do theirs later this year. Most agree that the Vive is the best. I would first look and see which sims are available on each platform. I would best, because the Vive is a deal with Steam, so I think there are more games on the Steam VR store than anywhere else. So I would take a look at, although if you look at War Thunder, you'll see that this is a simulator. In fact, somebody in the chat room has put a YouTube link up, a simulator that includes all the controls. You're really getting a complete experience of flying. I would guess, yeah, it looks like an old World War II plane.
Okay.
A prop plane. So what did you like to fly? Did you like to fly jets? What did you fly when you played?
Well, mostly Microsoft Flight Simulator and a thing called Strike Eagle F-15 by MicroProse, Strike Eagle 3.
This is, I have to say, I mean, because it is a World War II vintage plane, I mean, the controls are not as exactly as fancy, but look at that video because it is very, very realistic. And it's probably as close. I mean, let me put it this way. When I put the Oculus Rift on and I stand on the edge of a building, I get a little bit queasy, like I could fall off. It's that realistic. Okay. You quickly forget the lower res. Now, you will be spending a lot of money to do this, probably at least $1,500, because your PC is undoubtedly not powerful enough. You need to have a very high-end graphics card in there, a 970 or better. And then you're going to buy the VR gear itself. That's $600. Now, the Oculus does not yet have the hand controls, but that's okay, because if you're doing a flight simulator, you probably have a yoke or something like that anyway, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's not as much of a negative. It is for other games. The Vive does have hand controls. I have to say, this is a pretty impressive simulator I'm looking at. I have not tried flight sims, but I was never a flight sim guy, so I don't know how it would be. I think people who are really into flight sims are pretty excited about the potential that these VR helmets represent. So you spent a lot of money in the old days on the three screen setup.
Yeah, you were
serious about it.
Now, generally speaking, if you're going to play games, would you use the VR headset as opposed to just a computer monitor?
Yeah, not for all games. But there is something magical about being immersed in a game, and movies too. It is not hype. I guess that's the question you're asking me. Is it hype? It is not hype.
Yeah.
It is awesome. Okay, so it is very, very realistic. It's an amazing experience. It's expensive. It's early days. It will get better. Might be worth waiting. But you don't sound like the type to wait. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It's pretty impressive. If you look at this footage. And this is pretty impressive. So that was a P-38, I guess. I don't know what this is. So these are vintage combat aircraft. Although this one looked like a Cessna or something.
Yes.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. They do come and go. 8888, ask Leo. Yeah, I'm pretty bullish on VR, which is those helmets that you put on. I wasn't convinced early days because people got a little nauseated with the helmets on. And I wasn't – they're very expensive. But I've become a believer using it on a good computer with some of the new software really is amazing. It's very, very immersive. Having said that, I'm not, like, running there. I have only maybe logged half an hour on it, or an hour, since we got it a couple of weeks ago. But I notice a lot of other people in the studio spending a lot of time on there, so I can't always get in and use it. And I think augmented reality, I've mentioned this before, is really the future. They'll be like sunglasses that you wear, but they'll impose additional information on the real world around you. And I think that is going to be very interesting for gaming, but also as a user interface. I am kind of interested. That's what weighs off. That's hard to do, turns out. AJ, L.A., Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, AJ.
Hey, how you doing, Leo? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks for calling.
I'm actually calling. I do have a question, but at the very, very beginning of your show, you had touched on Uber.
Yeah.
And Uber actually charges 20% all the way up to 35% from the drivers. And wow. What has happened with, 20% on the rideshare side on the UberX, 25% on the Uber Select, but on the Uber Black SUV, it's 28%. And on the Uber Lux, it's 35%.
Sounds like you're an Uber driver.
I do have a fleet.
Oh, you have a fleet. Wow.
Yes.
Let me ask you about that tipping thing then, because I feel really bad. I've been using Uber, and I just thought that they built in a tip. They don't.
It was. Okay. That's okay. This isn't about not being tipped. The tip has always been included up until 2 days ago when they settled. There was a 20% gratuity added to every single trip from Uber's inception.
Oh, so I'm not wrong. They were doing that.
Yes, but see, what the beef was about is Uber, whether you're on the X Black platform or Lux, they are also taking 20, 25, 28, and 35% from the tips from the driver.
You're kidding. They don't give you the whole tip. They take a portion of the tip.
That's right. So even though you have your fare and 20% gratuity is added to it, Uber is still taking a percentage of that.
And now after the consent decree where they were being sued because Uber treats its drivers as contract employees, and some states wanted them to be treated as actual employees. Uber will still have them as contract employees, but they did pay a fairly hefty fine. Not hefty for Uber, which has got a lot of money in its pocket.
Well, it is a lot of money. Remember, Uber's only valued at that company.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, they actually don't make money, do they?
Well, put it this way. Like last year, the year before, they actually made like $245 million. Okay.
All right.
But their valuation of the company is that high because of the amount of investors they have. Which
they
is
raised
a million liquid.
They raised a lot of money.
Right. But also because that's what they're saying, this is what someone would pay for it. But if someone actually paid $68 billion for Uber and 50 years, they would never, ever get their money back.
No. This is I will sometime explain this whole funding thing, this venture capital thing, because it's gotten worse and worse from the point of view of the companies.
And now I'm also a rider in Uber. I travel
I love Uber. I love it. I love riding in it anyway. I want to make sure the drivers aren't being exploited.
Well, not anymore. They're not. Now tips are not included.
Yeah,
drivers can put signs on their seats or in the car saying tips are not required, but they are appreciated. They're not included, they're not required, but they are appreciated. And what that is going to do, it's going to upset the Uber rider who does not even read the news or know anything about this.
Right.
Okay. To where now the Uber rider, when they are done the trip and they rate the driver, it is now going to lower the driver's rating because Uber does not explain to the rider how the rating system works.
I know. And riders might be a little concerned if they don't tip the driver, they're going to get a bad rating because the driver rates the rider.
No, it doesn't matter, Leo. It doesn't matter what you rate a rider. I've seen riders with 1-star average.
And people still pick them up.
Well, you have a choice now. Now Uber cannot reprimand you or deactivate you for not picking them up. Like, for instance, I do not allow any of my cars to pick up a rider who is under a 4.5 average.
No, I wouldn't either. I don't blame you.
That's right.
Because you got to wonder where they got that rating from.
Exactly. Now, also, on the same sense, Leo, okay, you have to understand that Uber Black Platform and up are professional limousine companies.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We know how to rate a rider. Uber X drivers who are getting paid $1.18 a mile, they're doing a trip for $4. They're already disgruntled. So therefore, payback to the rider, they get a lower rating. But Uber does not care because they're still getting the money. Nothing will ever happen to a rider. You can have a 3 average, 4 point, whatever, 2 point, doesn't matter.
Let me put this to you. It is a free market. If you are unhappy as an Uber driver, can't you just quit?
And for now, yes, you can. But what has happened here over the last few years. Now, remember, I was one of the pioneers here when Uber first started. Okay. So I've seen it go all the way to where it is now. What you have out here 90% of the time is, even though an SUV or a black car, yes, it's on the Uber platform, but I urge the riders, look at the TCP number on the back of the car or on the front. If that number is higher than 20,000, then what you have is a cab driver who has paid $1,000 to the state to have a TCP license to be noticed as a limousine company. So you actually have a cab driver inside of a black car because they could not beat Uber. So now they have cabs.
That's the problem, isn't it?
Cab drivers.
You don't really have a choice if you want to be a driver because Uber is really eating up the market. And Uber, it's not just Uber because there's all these other companies coming in. Well, I appreciate your filling us in a little bit on behind the scenes on what's going on at Uber. And I guess I will just start tipping my Uber drivers. They deserve it. If they're working hard, not getting paid a whole lot of money, they deserve a tip. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. We continue on. More of your calls coming up right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So, AJ, you had a question. I'm sorry, I didn't realize.
Yes, sir.
What can I do for you?
I opened up my laptop one day, and all of my pictures and all of my music was corrupted.
Uh-oh.
It was taken up, for instance, let's say it was a 10 kilobyte picture. It was taken up 11 kilobytes on my disk space, and I couldn't open up the picture or listen to the music. I had it backed up on one of my HP hard drives that I had, you know, as original pictures. So about 4 years ago, I took the hard drive out, wrapped it in bubble wrap, and saved it. I went to Best Buy, bought one of those things that you can just drop the hard drive in, external. And even that said that, oh, we can't get anything. If you hit this button, you're going to reformat the whole disk.
Well, it said that I can't read this disk. Do you want to format it or eject it?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Now, what I did was I went online and I started looking for recovery programs. And I couldn't find any that would actually work. I did find one, so without purchasing it, I tested it, and I had to, and it showed me some pictures on the hard drive. So I actually had to go through and screenshot every single picture, and then edit it and paint and save it. So why did my computer corrupt?
Well, you know, I don't know exactly why, but hard drives die. Even a hard drive wrapped in bubble wrap. Can die. That's why we always say 3-2-1 backup. Nothing is safe unless you have three copies of it, two of them on different media. So don't put them all on hard drives. Don't put them all on DVDs. Two of them on different media and one of them off site. And you got to do that or I can't help you. And hard drives die. Something went wrong with the hard drive, and unfortunately, because you only had two copies, your backup died too. The other thing I really recommend on backups is you refresh them regularly, you check them regularly. So a hard drive in the closet can die. I mean, it's not getting used. Recovery programs may or may not be able to work. By the way, you shouldn't have to do screenshots. Just pay for that recovery program, and it should just output the data. Maybe not the best recovery program out there, though. Recovering a damaged hard drive is kind of a skilled thing to do. Generally, what I would do is run a program called SpinWrite, which is a $90 program from GRC.com. My friend Steve wrote it and continues to update it. SpinWrite, R-I-T-E, from GRC.com. That program does one kind of recovery. The very lowest level. It'll go. So if your hard drive has a physical problem, if SpinWrite can read it at all, it will go through it and will move data off of damaged sectors to new, fresh sectors. And in many cases, that's all that needs to happen. So that's the first step. It really depends on where the damage is. If you can't see the drive at all, which you can see the drive. If you can't, your backup drive, you couldn't. If you can't see the drive at all, that could be a physical hardware failure. The circuit board on the drive could be damaged. The drive itself could be damaged. The actuating arm could be. In this case, because it's been stored, probably the actuating arm is stuck. We call that stiction. The head of the drive can get stuck to the medium, the recording medium, and then it won't be able to move. Sometimes a strong whack with a, not with a hammer, maybe something a little like a rubber mallet. We could just jiggle it enough, jerk it enough to get that head off of there. That often fixes stiction. But there's all sorts of things. I mean, that's the thing. I can't tell you what's wrong because there's a myriad of possibilities. Sometimes it isn't the sectors that failed, but just the table of contents that tells your operating system what's on there. That's another matter. The error you're getting is a little weird. The fact that you can see the file size, but there's nothing in it. You might want to take that drive to another computer, see if it's a problem with your computer, with your operating system, and not with the hard drive. There's a lot of work to be done here because there's a lot of potential problems. But the lesson is, back it up. Because then you don't have to worry about any of this stuff. You go to your next backup. You did have one backup, two, one off-site, different media. Very important. Now you see why. Now I see why. I'm not sure there's a hard drive recovery utility I'd recommend besides SpinRite. The other one's the one you were trying out. I really don't like that because they say, well, see what's there, and then if you pay us, we'll get it for you. I don't like that. That's kind of mean. They work at a higher level. They work at the file system level, and that's not always enough. So you want to start with SpinRite to work at the lowest possible at the hard drive level, and if you can run SpinRite and recover that, then make a good backup. You're better off. If SpinRite can't see the drive, then you've got a bigger problem. IBM for Stiction, according to Florida Vet in our chat room, says if you put the hard drive on the floor and spin it vigorously. the whole idea is you want to get the head kind of separated off of that hard drive if it's stuck. That is a real thing. Moving along to, let's see, is it Wrestle in Kansas? Is that how I say it? Wrestle?
Riesel.
Riesel. Hi, Riesel. Oh, I have to push this button. How you doing?
Yeah, I know I caught myself right as I did it. When the malware popped in, I knew it. I quickly shut down into safe mode to put a stop to it. And I found most of the programs that were trying to auto-install themselves. And due to watching your show, your backlog, your podcast, I fixed a few other things, like making them no longer the admin on Windows 7.
Good.
But my main deal is I think I got all the installers stopped, but they've made a change somewhere.
Yeah.
I think somebody said the proxy or something.
Oh, yeah. So that means you're surfing through their system. So they see everything you're doing. They're proxying it. That's nice. So you could do that in your network settings. You could turn off proxies. You don't need a proxy. The only time you'd ever need a proxy is if you're doing it at work. And the reason they do that is so they can see what you're doing. So turn off proxies. The problem really is it's very hard to know what damage was done. It's good you caught it so fast. But as soon as you're compromised, which you have been, it's a question mark. You could change the proxy, run malware bytes or whatever, and antivirus, remove everything you can. Do you have the confidence that there's nothing on your system? You don't know. So, it's up to you whether you want to risk it. Generally speaking, if I get bit, I format the drive. I nuke it, burn it to the ground, and then reinstall from a known good Windows. That's the only way to really know. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, I got to show you this. Our show today brought to you by my tracker. Oh, I love this idea. You ever lose your keys? Who hasn't, right? Oh! My keys aren't with me. I lost them. Oh, well, then you just launch the tracker app on your phone, and you'll find your keys. Conversely, if you have your keys but you lose your phone, the keys will start beeping at you, say, you left your phone. I love the tracker. Go to thetracker.com and check it out. You can find lost items in seconds, and what's cool about the tracker is they have this kind of crowdsourced network that is unique. Now, they're having a Mother's Day limited time sale through May 3rd only. You enter the promo code Tech Guy, you get a free color upgrade. I have a couple of different trackers. You see, they come in a variety of colors. These new trackers are really thin and light, about the size of a quarter, and as thin as a quarter. So you put it on your keys, you put it on your wallet, you can put it on your computer, you can put it on your pets. It's that light. And iOS or Android device, you can track your phone. If you lose your phone, you press the button on the tracker, the phone will ring, even when it's on silent. You lose your tracker, the phone will let you know. And with over 1.5 million devices in place, Tracker has this amazing crowd GPS network. Look at the tracker map. These are tracker owners. So what's cool is if an item goes missing, the tracker app will tell you its last known location on the map. And then, if you say you leave it at the grocery store and somebody with a tracker goes in, that tracker sees the other tracker and notifies you on your phone. Yeah. When another tracker user comes within 100-foot range of your lost item, you will get a GPS update, so you'll know exactly where your item is. That is so cool. They recently introduced the Tracker Atlas, which works with your Tracker Bravo or third-party Bluetooth tracker to pinpoint your items, get this, on a customizable floor plan of your house. So you'll know if it's under the cushions. I love this. TheTracker.com. No E in tracker. TheTracker. TheTracker.com. Never lose your possessions again. Right now, Tracker's having a Mother's Day. This would be great for mom, right? Limited time sale. Just enter the promo code TechGuy for a free color upgrade. And when you get to the site, I think you're going to see an even better deal, including the color upgrade. The Tracker, TheTracker.com. And don't forget that promo code TechGuy. That'll let them know you heard it on the Tech Guy show. They're great supporters of the show. We appreciate it. And man, I really appreciate the Tracker. That's exactly how mine's right on my bag. That way I never lose my bag. The Tracker. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Oh, he's here. The bad boy of gadgets and gizmos. The Giz Whiz, Dick D. Bartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. Hello, Dickie D.
Leo, how are you?
I'm great.
Good. You look great. Yeah. You sound great.
Yeah. You see this whole thing with Kelly and Michael and the craziness going
on
over there?
It's a riot, isn't it? Aren't you glad that we're out of there?
You used to do it with Regis and Kathy Lee.
Exactly. Then you came.
With Regis and Kelly.
Right.
And then I stopped doing it mostly because it's just a lot of work. I have to fly all the way back east and, you know, it was just too much work. I love them. And can I just say this? I don't know what they're saying about Kelly Ripa. She's a sweetheart. She was always great to me. Never a diva. For instance, a lot of people in showbiz won't let you take a picture of them without makeup, right? Behind the scenes. And I was always going there to show cameras. I was the gadget guy.
Yeah.
And she was always, she said, take all the pictures you want. She never minded.
Great.
She was great. And her relationship with Regis, now they're talking about that. These two were so great together. They just loved working with each other. She took great care of him. She would always straighten his tie and make sure he looked great before they walked on stage. I think she's, so don't listen to what those tabloids are saying about Kelly Ripa. She's great. Yeah. I never met Michael, but he seems like a really sweet guy.
Michael Gelman, I met.
Kind of understand what's going on there because ABC treats Live with Kelly and Michael as their kind of bullpen, and they move Michael to GMA. Oh, we need help on GMA, leaving her in the lurch. And I don't blame her for being upset. But yeah, she's far from a diva. She's a very sweet person. Now, Kelly.
They wanted to move me over to one of the shows with Padre, and I said, I'm staying with Leo.
You're on World News Now, right? You're with the big boys.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you got for us?
I have a neat little desk lamp, and I don't know when you travel if you insist on having a desk lamp. But
you mean like in your suitcase?
A desk lamp
at the hotel room.
Yeah, at the hotel.
No, that's nice to have.
The Westgate, which used to be the Hilton, remodeled a lot of the rooms, and I got one of the remodeled rooms, and they took out the desk and the desk lamp. So it's ridiculous. I'm sitting there in a high-priced hotel room balancing the laptop on my lap with the floor lamp laying over so I have some light. So anyway, I don't have to worry about that anymore because I don't stay there. But I found on Amazon, it's called the Prema, P-R-E-M-E-R, folding table and desk lamp. It's LED. It weighs a little more than a pound. It unfolds, becomes a full-size desk lamp. And what I like about it is you can power it three ways. First of all, it has a built-in 1800 milliamp battery, so it runs 6 to 8 hours all on its own. It has three levels of illumination. The top one is 950 lumens, which is nice and bright. You can power it directly from a USB port on your computer. And it also comes with a little AC adapter. So you can plug it into a wall. And the whole thing is $27 on Amazon. So I think this is a really convenient lamp to...
Are you going to pack this in your suitcase and bring it with you?
Well, this time I got a hotel room at the Hilton, which happens to have a work desk for people. So I'm not going to for that. But I keep it in my bedroom all the time, right next to on my nightstand. And then when I go down the boat or something and need extra light, I just take that with me. And since it has its own battery in it, you can also use it for an emergency. You have 6 or 8 hours of 950 lumen lights. So it's convenient to have in many different ways.
I like, and as you get a little bit older, you know how it is. Text is getting smaller, and the lights seem to be getting dimmer. Nowadays, they just don't make lights like they used to.
No, you're absolutely right. And also, I love that they make, not instruction books, they make these little postage stamp things.
Yeah.
That you open with a magnifying glass, I can just about read it.
And not only that, clothes are shrinking, aren't they? They sit in my closet and they shrink.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. A size 40 today is really the old 36. I just totally agree with you.
Oh, we're getting old, Dick. All right, Dickie D. Hey, the thing to do is go to gizwiz.biz. He'll have notes on the lamp and everything else he talks about. He also has the wonderful What the Heck Is It contest, a chance to win a Mad Magazine autographed by this guy, the legend. The legendary Dick D. Bartolo, gizwiz.biz. And don't forget his great show, the Gizwiz podcast at gizwiz.tv, gizwiz.tv.
Correct.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
All right. Let's see. Randy, Lake Forest, California. Hi, Randy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey there. You're my only hope, Obi-Wan.
Uh-oh. What's the matter?
I bought an Apple S Plus cell phone, and I forgot my passcode, and I'm locked out. And there's no way I know how to get my passcode to work. I don't know what it is, so I don't know how to get back in and get my phone open up so I can do anything with it.
Yeah, well.
If I get a new phone.
You don't need a new phone, but you do need to go to the Apple Store and tell them that. And they won't get your data off because they can't unlock it either, but they can restart the phone. Do you remember your iCloud password, your Apple login?
I don't remember anything.
Yeesh. Yeah, you got to write this stuff down. So to prevent theft, even if you wipe your phone, which you could do, you know, you could erase your phone. The problem is that in order to do that, it says, but first you have to give us the password. That's so that somebody can't steal your phone and just wipe it and use it as theirs. So you can get around it, but you can't do it yourself. You have to bring it to the Apple Store. It's the only thing you can do at this point. And next time, write it down.
Okay, like if they do anything with it.
You're going to lose whatever's on it. There's nothing they can. That's done.
That means my directory, all that's going to be gone.
Unless you were backing up to iCloud, yeah. Were you backing up to iCloud?
Yeah.
You're all right then. All of that stuff will be restored when you reset the phone. The phone will start erased, but good news, because you were backing it up to iCloud, it will restore your phone book. It'll restore all of that stuff, including all the apps. You can reinstall those. So you'll be back to, in a couple of hours, you'll be back to the way you were. Did you ever back up to a computer?
I don't know how to do that.
Okay. Yeah, you have to have iTunes on the computer, and then you connect it with a cable. Apple's gotten away from that, so they really promote the iCloud. And as long as you were using that, you're golden. But you will, unfortunately, have to bring it to the Apple Store, and that's just to prevent theft, if you have proof of purchase. Because what they don't see, they're trying to prevent. And by the way, I'm not sure I agree with this, but this is the Apple way. And, you know, you notice lately I've been not so bullish on buying an iPhone. This is one of the things that that Apple does to keep iPhone theft down. You have to prove ownership before they erase it and start you over. Very frustrating, isn't it? I think even if you don't have your iCloud password, I think you can change the password, right? To something you know. Bring it to the Apple Store. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next time.